2 Corinthians chapter 5 tonight. I'm just going to tell you, I have been back and forth on what to bring tonight. I have two messages that I really want to bring, but this is where I've landed. And so it's just going to be very practical tonight. I want to not cram, but I want to deal with taking tests tonight. Tests. There are some spiritual, scriptural tests that we should take. The first thing I want to deal with, and I dealt with this in a podcast, but I know not everyone listens to podcasts. I wanted to make this available to our church folk. We'll be look first at some tests before we put something up on social media, because we're living in a day where that's where a lot of people communicate is through social media. So I want to give you four tests, maybe five tests, on dealing with social media. And then I want to deal with six tests. You say, man, that's going to be a long night. Really not. Which I said, if y'all noticed this morning, I said we was going to get out of here short, and y'all can tell it wasn't short. About regular time, but all of you knew that already, right? How many of you already knew that already? Would you raise your hand? Yeah. So how many of you know when I say we're going out early, that means absolutely nothing. Amen? Yeah, a few of you. But I really do try it. I just got wound up. I even got a text today after the service. Says, well, maybe if you say it's going to be short, maybe it'll be long. And then he said, maybe do the reverse psychology on that. So you tell us it's going to be long, then it might be short. So anyway, so I want to deal with these things tonight. We'll do it. I feel like I want to give this information because that's what Scripture is. That's what living life is about, giving truth. And now we're going to be responsible for things. And I hope and pray God's Word and His principles will become a part of our life. So let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to bring out a principle here. And then I want to give these tests tonight, and I want us to be thinking about these tests to apply to our lives and hopefully help us to live more like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live, here it is, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. There's so much in this passage, but I really want to deal with tonight verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What a motive. That's the greatest motive. When someone was to ask, Pastor Mark, why or how are you or why are you living the Christian life? Why do you do what you do? It should always be that we're not living to ourselves, but we are living for the one who died and rose again for us. Again, the same thing this morning, the same theme as Joshua was giving his last word and sharing his heart with the people that he led. He reminded them again of everything that God had did for them. That's why they should serve the Lord. And the reason that we should live the Christian life is because of the one who gave us the Christian life. That's the motive. So, dealing with that, that's why I want to deal with these tests of living the Christian life. In other words, we are not under the law. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. We all understand that. But grace is not a license to sin. It's not a license. We live in a day where there's a lot of people that's taking the license of grace. Oh, we're under grace, we're under the law. And they've taken a license to sin. No, listen, I'm free to serve. I'm not free to sin. But there are things decisions, routes, plans, actions, reactions that have to take place as you live your life that is not necessarily laid out in Scripture. Someone might would say they're gray areas. Or is this right or wrong? Why is it right or why is it wrong? And that's kind of what I want to deal with tonight, because for families, for individuals, for people living here, how do we make decisions? How do we make decisions? If we are wanting to, and by the way, I think this motive settles it. If we realize ownership. Do y'all understand when you got saved, you're not your own, you've been bought with a price, you're the Lord's. Right? He owns us. But you know what? He gives us free will to choose. That's amazing to me. That a God who really has bought us and did everything for us, He doesn't make us do anything. He wants us to choose to love Him. He wants us to choose. Just like in this verse here that we looked at in 2 Corinthians. He says, and that He died for all, that they which should live not in themselves. He didn't say, you can't. He said, you should. You should not live for yourself. You should live unto the one that has died for you. What a wonderful motive. That's a motive of love. We understand that He's given us everything, so we choose to live. It's a choice. Love is a choice. Me serving the Lord is a choice. No one makes me. The Lord's not made me. Being sacrificed or being sanctified to the Lord and you trying to live a Christian life, God does not tell you you must. He desires for you. But He doesn't put a chip in our brains and programs us around like a bunch of little robots and says, here's what I'm going to have them do. No, the Christian life is free will. So with that, there's where we get in a lot of trouble when there are certain things going on in life, especially in this dark day. Well, they're doing it, and they're doing it, and they're doing it. Well, why can't we do it? Well, the question is this. What makes it right? What makes it wrong? What is best? What's good? What's bad? And so that's what I want to deal with tonight. And we're going to take these tests. And so here's my application. When we have to make a decision, when we have to react, and the first few things I'm going to deal with is if you're going to use social media, and by the way, it's here. It's not going away. It's not going to go away, so we might as well go ahead and use it for the glory of God. It can be a great resource for the Lord. But let me give you some tests here just to start out and give you some scripture, and then we're going to get over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. But these are some tests that would help us to manage. Take the test. Before we put something on social media, let's take these tests. Number one, does it pass the true wisdom test? Does it pass the true wisdom test? You will say, well, Pastor, where do we find what true wisdom is? We did a whole series on it. In the book of James, the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. So here's the test. Does it pass the motive test? Here's my question. Before you or I put something up on social media, why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? Question the motive. If the motive's right, if it's godly, if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're doing it pure before the Lord, then hey, that you need to take that test. But if you know down deep, and you are the only one, I'm the only one that can be honest about it, if we know that that cannot pass the purity test, we should never post it. If we're trying to brag, if we're trying to put somebody else down, if we're even trying to cause controversy in something, you know that motive is not pure. So don't do it. It will cause a whole lot less trouble. It will keep from causing a lot more less trouble if we would just simply take these tests. Is it pure? Is it true wisdom? By the way, if anything is put up on social media that has to do with bitter envy and strife, that we know is false wisdom, so it doesn't pass the test. So before we send a text, before we put anything up on social media, you know, I've been praying about starting a podcast. Before I started a podcast, we did radio broadcasts for years. I missed radio. We need to make sure if I'm going to put something up on Facebook, I've got to make sure the motive is right. Is it pure wisdom? First of all, does it pass that test? And look, you're the only one that can answer that. I'm the only one that can answer that. But by the way, after something's put up, a very discerning Christian can discern it very quickly. So remember, it needs to pass the true wisdom test. Number two, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Here's another thing before we would put something up on social media. And again, I know a lot of the older folks, some older folks are on it. This is mainly to a younger generation, but it's here, and that's the way people are communicating. There are more different kinds of ways of doing that. You have Twitter, you've got Snapchat, and some of these, of course, I would not recommend. There's Snapchat, anything that gets erased that you can't, that's a scary thing. You have no clue of what's going on. You need to be careful with that, but you have, you know, now they've got these TikTok accounts. You've got Twitter, you've got Facebook, and I'm sure there's others. Instagram. And this is how people are communicating. So does it pass the true wisdom test? Does it pass the life or death test? What I mean by that is your words or your posts that you're putting out, is it giving life or is it giving death? You answer that question. And if it gives life, put it up. But if there's something in there that could discourage somebody or it might make someone else to stumble as a weaker person, it's bringing death. If it's not something encouraging, if it's putting somebody in light that you wouldn't want to be given in a light that way on social media, then if it's not giving life, then don't do it. Take that test. Does it pass the life or death test? Does it pass the true wisdom test? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Does it pass the stumbling block test? Does it pass the stumbling block test? In other words, just because you have an account and just because you can say it or I can say it doesn't mean I should. Let's be careful. We have to understand children are reading those posts. There are families reading those. There's people that are lost. There's people that are saved. There's some people that's been saved a long time. And we've got to be careful of making sure we're not taking our liberty and grace to say, oh, you know, I'm free to say and do whatever I want. Well, you're free. You have absolutely, God's given you that opportunity. You're free to put anything on there you want to, but I'm going to say this. We need to put these tests in place. Is it going to help someone be discouraged? Is it going to help someone to stumble? Is it going to help someone to maybe look at something in a lighter way to make them stumble and not look like they should at the Lord and His work and His church and other Christians? We need to be careful. Then Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the last test that I would say, if all of us on social media would take these tests, the last one's this. Does it pass the exhorting test? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Ask this question. Is it an encouraging post? Is it an encouraging text? Listen, we live in a day nobody needs help getting discouraged. Nobody. Listen, I have all but just absolutely, I have quit looking at Facebook almost altogether. And the reason I've done that is because I'm going to be honest, I can keep scrolling, and I do, but I've come to a place, why do I keep putting myself in a position to have to keep scrolling, and then after about four scrolls, I'm dealing with the thing up there that I scrolled past two times before that just really, really bothered me. Or really brought me to a place and said, you know what, that shouldn't have been said. That should have never been said that way. What if that was me? And you know, listen, church, if we're going to be, and it's here, we need to make sure it's encouraging. Are you exhorting someone? I've said, many of you use Facebook right. You use it right. Get on there. Encourage somebody. Put something positive. Put something encouraging up. And so those tests need to be taken. By the way, that will take care of when, if something's not going real well that day and you just feel like venting, you will think and take those tests before you vent on Facebook. I told someone the other day, and I mean this, I'd rather them call me and vent with me because I can take it. I did. I told a church member not long ago, I said, would you call me and vent with me? I'd rather you vent with me than vent with someone outside of this church that you could hurt them. vent with me. I understand. By the way, you say, Pastor, do you ever vent? Oh, my. Sure I vent. Everybody's got a vent. But let's not vent on Facebook. By the way, if we take these tests, we'll never vent on Facebook. Our motive would be wrong. The wisdom test would be failed. The stumbling block test would be failed. How many of y'all ever like to get a test back and it has F on it? Failed your test? Well, here's the thing. No one's going to put an F on those posts that we put out. But I'll tell you right now, God does say we're going to give an account for it all when we get to heaven. So let's just be careful. Those are what? One, two, three, four little simple tests that we could take. If you need them, I have them. I'd like for you to put them in the fleshly tablets of your heart if you have a Facebook account or some kind of a social media account. And before you put anything up, take those tests. If they pass those tests, put it up. Put it up. Make sure those tests are taken care of. Then I want to give you some other things here when it comes to how to determine what are some other tests and how to determine on just making decisions. Now, children, even this, for every child here, if you'll stay with me, this will serve you well all of your life. Because every principle that we get out here and every test will be in line with Scripture. And God wants the best for you. He has the plan for your life. And He's given us principles how to make decisions when it might not just be right here in black and white. Those questionable areas, how should we determine whether to or not, whether it's right or wrong? And so that's kind of the test that we're looking at tonight. Number one, y'all ready? Easy. A proclamation test. You mean, Pastor, what's that mean? Well, that means this. Has God clearly commanded it in or proclaimed it in His Word? If He has clearly commanded or clearly proclaimed something in His Word, listen to me, all of you, and I'm going to say this to myself. We don't have to pray about it. It's there. So, if God's Word says it, then that's our answer. Think about it. Has God clearly proclaimed it to be wrong in His Word? Wrong in His Word. Has He? Well, there's a lot of things that He's claimed and He's proclaimed that is wrong. Now, do we have a choice that we can either, yes, sin against that command? And by the way, that's what it's called. It's sin. Getting out of bounds. Not hitting the mark. There's forms. There's different levels. Different areas or different levels of sin. But we understand that this is very simple. That if God proclaims it, there's no praying about it. For a Christian, it ought to be a conviction of yours. Now let me just say quickly, the problem here is twofold with this test. Number one, there are many believers, and I'm sad to say this, they don't know what the Bible says. They don't know. Because they've never read it. Can I encourage every Christian in this building, and even out online tonight, you ought to be studying and reading the Word of God so you can live a successful Christian life, because God's Word is always right. Have you ever thought about this? God has never given you a bunch of no's and a bunch of thou shalt nots because He hates you. He's given all of these commands and told you some things to stay away from. You know why? I know this is shocking, children, but He loves you. He wants the best for you. But we live in a day now, someone tells me no, well, they're just being mean to me. No. Have you ever just thought it might be because somebody loves you so much they don't want you to be hurt? That's the way God loves us. God loves us with a love, so He tells us a lot of things of what not to do. But we have to know what those things are. And simply reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached, coming to Sunday school and hearing it, and listening to all of the preaching and teaching and expounding upon God's Word will give us clarity on the principles of God's Word. So we understand. I'm afraid that we're living in a society, I'm told, that very few children, even in when I was in second grade, you could have probably went to any child in my school and they would have known who David and Goliath was. They had heard the story. You can go to public schools today and you can speak about David and Goliath, and sadly, most children in that public school will have no idea who you're talking about. We live in a Bible illiterate society today. But it should not be true of us as Christians. So if he says it, if he's commanded, it's clear. There's no praying about it. It's clear. So we see the proclamation test. Number two, if it's in his word, there's no question. Period. Number two, the principle test. What's that mean, Pastor? The principle test. Well, this is simple. This test asks, is it forbidden in God's word in principle? In principle. For instance, mature Christians, I believe, live by principles. Live by principles. Live by principles. For instance, I meant to say this the other day and I got off the subject and I didn't clarify. There is a gentleman that I had scheduled here to preach years ago. And let me just say, he is a good man. He's a great preacher. I mean, a great preacher. And I had him scheduled to preach here. I found out, and by the way, I'm not saying it's wrong, but for us, I don't think it would have been best for us. But this particular preacher had changed some things, and he no longer had a Sunday night service. Now, I'm in the position that, is a Sunday night service right or wrong? I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. I'm going to say that the Bible, by principle, says that we should assemble that much the more as you see the day approaching. So I'm going to just say to you, I don't. If someone wants to have church every night, they're not going to get any complaints from me. They're not going to get any complaints from me. But I called this man and I let this gentleman know. I said, look, I want you to know it would not be best for our church for you to come here. Here's why I said that. Because I know that I have people in our church that would have got on Facebook, they would have gotten on the internet and they would have looked this man up, they would have looked his church up and they said, man, he's done cut out all of his church services. And we're a church that believes that we're not going to get rid of our Sunday night. We're not going to get rid of our Wednesday night. We're not going to get rid of our Sunday morning. We're not going to get rid of our Sunday school. And some people say, well, I'll tell you what, Sunday school's not in the Bible. I know it's not. But the Bible says by principle so much the more as you see the day approaching. So to me, it's just common sense. If y'all want to meet here 5 nights a week, I'm in. I ain't getting many amens there. But I understand that people have lives too, and so does God. But he said, and in daily, in every house, and from house to house, they did what? They gathered. Now, by the way, I'm for the more. You say, well, Pastor, we might not need to have a absolutely in-person service on Tuesday and Thursday. We'd like to have a Bible study. Look at me. Go for it. Go for it. But can I just help everybody with Bible? Keep it right. They're not gossip sessions, Bible studies. They're to be studying the Bible and they're to be growing in God's Word. So principle. Christian, I think mature Christians live by principles. Well, I'll tell you right now, show me scripture and verse. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. People like that drive me nuts. Show me scripture and verse. Okay, well, there's a lot of things. Okay. Scripture and verse. Well, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not go rob a bank. But the Bible does say, thou shalt not what? Steal. Well, someone can say, well, I'll tell you right now, I ain't stealing from the bank. That's my money anyway. People can rationalize anything away. And by the way, we're in that society where people are doing it too. No, it's principle. Be a principled person. Be principled. Be principled. For instance, principled. We live in a day where we're living in a day where marriage and homes and sexuality, all of those things are confusing. We're living in a day where children can choose their gender. We're there. And we're condemned if we absolutely think, no, that's a pretty simple one. God's already told you what you are. and he made male and female. And I'm not being ugly. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Male, female. But we live in a day. Well, I'll tell you right now, people are born that way. Wait a minute. The Bible principles teach us different. But we live in a day where now homes are being attacked. And now we're dealing, and I know the audience that I have, but we're dealing now with inappropriate intimacy with young teenagers. It's off the charts. The resources that these children have and have available to them on the internet. And let me just say this. Any mother or father that has, I would say, 10 years and up, you've probably done waited too long to try to talk to them and help them. You know, that old-fashioned birds and bees conversation you had, and you had to wait till they, you know, were 15, 16 years old. Today, you've done waited too long. That's where we're at in this day, perverse day. So you got to live by principle. What does God say about it? Well, the Bible says that a man and a woman are not to be together until they're married. Well, that's frowned upon today. Well, I'll tell you what. So now we start changing things. We start changing names and we start changing it. But listen, a mature Christian lives by the principles of the Word of God. Does it violate a principle in the Word of God? Ask that test. Number three, quickly, the partnership test. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Here's the test that you need to ask. All right, we're getting ready to do something. We're getting involved in something. We've got to make a decision about it. Here's a way we're going to live. Here's a choice. We're going to make a choice here to live a certain way. Ask this question. Can I invite Jesus to do it with me? Can I invite Jesus to do it with me? By the way, that will help everyone with their computers and internet getting on sites that they shouldn't get on. Because you know what? He's right there with you. Any inappropriate place that you could go in that's not a real good place to be in, and we want to rationalize that away and say, oh, I tell you right now, there's nothing wrong going in here. I'm strong. I can handle all this stuff. Well, ask this question. Would you invite Jesus to go in there with you? And to participate with what you're going to do? Would Jesus be comfortable there? Listen, why? Because God's not only, look, some people say He's my co-pilot. No, He's your pilot. If He's the co-pilot, you need to get over in the other seat. And He walks with me and He talks to me. Hey, He leads me. He guides me. We ought to ask the question, hey, by the way, the Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So think of this. What are you putting in it? What are you putting in it? That's important because, you know, that's like one of the subjects that I've dealt with down here. I've never dealt with in my life. People want to deal with, you know, drinking alcohol and all. I've had more conversations with people wanting to say it's okay to drink alcohol and all these forms. Listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Once I got saved, I've never had the urge to drink alcohol. I've stayed completely away from it. Why? Because I'm going to be honest. It's a partnership test. It's a principle test. I can make someone stumble. Can I ask y'all a question? If I'm at a restaurant and I'm sitting there drinking a mixed drink and y'all come and say, hey, there's my pastor. Guarantee it. That's why I don't do it. Amen. Plus, I don't like it anyhow. And you say, oh, Pastor, I don't believe it. Well, let me teach y'all a little, and I think I can say it. I'll never forget it. I've never been more embarrassed in my life than when I've walked in on people and they're buying liquor at the store. Here's what happened. I'll never forget it. Caught this poor woman twice. And I wasn't even going in there to catch her. The first time I went in Kroger, Brother Don, and just her, and I'm saying this as a funny way, but in a sense, if people think this is wrong, say, oh, preacher's just wanting to. Well, wait a minute. Let me finish. So I walk in Kroger one day, and I get to the checkout, and I have only like one or two little things, so I go into the express lane. Well, I'm in the express lane, and I see this woman that had been coming to church. I didn't pay attention to nothing, because I don't do that, by the way. And so I walked up, we were talking, and I would have never noticed what she had in her buggy if she wouldn't have gotten nervous as a cat on a tin roof. She started going like this. Yes, yes, yes. And I mean, her face was turning red. And she was covering that up over there. And I was like, what's she doing? I'm like, something's wrong with her. About that time, you know, I've never seen, she bends over and she does like you. She puts it on there and she goes like, yes. And she's talking. And then she slides down the line with it. I'm like, my goodness, if you're going to hide it, why are you doing it? If there ain't nothing wrong with it, why'd she turn three shades of red like that tie right there? Then the same lady, bless her heart, I walked into CVS one day. I was just walking in there, and I had to go in there to get something. I'll never forget it. I walked in that door, and that woman was at the counter. I walked in that door, and I went, hey, she's like, oh, my goodness, the preacher done caught me again. She was slapping a big old 12-pack of beer up on the counter. And I went, my goodness, you caused more than I wouldn't have said a word. But if she didn't think anything was wrong with that, why was she hiding it? If she didn't think that was a stumble block for me, why did she care whether I seen it or not? No, the very action that she took explains my principle. It's a principle matter. It's a partnership test. I'm putting that in my body. I'm the Lord's. He goes with us, by the way, even when we're wrong. Can I say another quickly? Number four test, the presence test. This test asks this. Would I be ashamed to be found doing it? Would I be ashamed if I was found doing it? Thinking this? Saying this? Doing this. Think about it. What if he returned while we were doing it? What if he split the eastern sky and the trump sound? Think about it. Y'all ever think like that? I think like that. Say, man, I don't know if this is the best case scenario I should be in. What if he came right at me? Think about it. I mean, these are good little tests to take just to live your life. Where should I go? What should I do? How should I? You know, because everybody's got an answer. Oh, hey, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Well, it doesn't matter whether you think there's anything wrong with it. What does God say? You know, that's easy. Oh, I don't see nothing wrong with it. So we go to people that don't know anything about it. Well, I'll tell you right now, here's what I think about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. And I'm going to be honest with you. It really don't matter what I think about it. It matters what God thinks about it. If we're a Christian, and by the way, he ain't played hide and seek with us. He's told us what he thinks about it. And then again, these commands are not grievous. They're not, well, I'll tell you what, them bunch of Christians, they live by the letter of the law. I tell you what, them old Christians that are tiptoeing about this, they don't ever smile. They live by a bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations. I tell you what, that pastor down there, he don't even let them come in the door unless they're dressed a certain way. That's a lie. You know how many times I've heard that around here? Well, I tell you, y'all at church down there don't let people come in looking. I says, no, I don't know what church you're talking about. I mean, like, we got policemen at the door. Come on, that's silly. But I've heard it right here. How many of y'all ever heard that? I've heard it. Y'all raise your hands. Just make sure I'm not a liar. Amen. Appreciate that. Well, I'll tell you what, y'all was at church over Tiftonia. I'll tell you. Well, no, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of like our church. I kind of like our attitude at our church. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm with you. I kind of know. Yeah, I've been around you a while, 12 years now, and I just got a letter the other day from someone that visited our church, and I probably, if I get one letter, I get 100 of them, and they all say the same thing. Y'all know what that is? You have some of the most friendliest people that we've ever met. Huh. Well, you go down here and ask so-and-so. Oh, damn, I'll never go back to that church. They make you. They got a bunch of rules for you can come there. Y'all go out and tell people that ain't true, would you? The presence test. Is it, would I be ashamed doing it or thinking it, saying it upon Christ's return? Philippians 1:20 says this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Would you be ashamed? It's kind of funny. We had to go out this weekend. It just goes to prove the fact, and I know Clay was just picking, but Brother Clay sent Miss Laura a text, if I'm saying this right. He said, let us know before you come home so I can clean the house up. Am I right or wrong? Now, why would he do that? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because I'd do the same thing. I've told y'all that before. It's just a little problem. And I know the house was spotless when we got home. I think he was just joking. But anytime I've ever told Laura that, I ain't joking. I'm saying, honey, you let me know. You know, I'd like to know before you come. And I've told you all that story about up in Knoxville. I had all that junk everywhere. And she walked in unannounced. I said, oh, I didn't know you was coming, being homeless. She said, yeah, I can tell. Well, could you imagine if the Lord Jesus appeared and we said, oh, Lord, we didn't know you was coming right now. I can tell. That's not very funny, is it? Presence test. Then quickly, the purity test. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatsoever you eat or drink. Here's the test. Is there any glory for God in it? That's a good question. Same with them posts. Is there any glory to God in them posts we put up on Facebook? Really? I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing wrong with it, but I even had to get convicted. And I'm just going to be completely transparent with you. I've quit putting pictures up, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I personally have quit putting pictures up. Now, if my wife does it, I've quit putting pictures up of stuff I've killed and caught, which, number one, I ain't killed much and I ain't caught much here recently. But I'm going to be honest with you. Some of that stuff's got a little bit of arrogance to it. For me, I ain't saying it for nobody else. But I've had to ask that question. Mark, why are you putting up? Well, I just want people to really pray for me that I got some therapy today. No, really, I want y'all to know I caught a big thing of trout. Come on now. We're all human, right? So I got to be careful there. I could be prideful. I could be full of pride. And it's wrong. And I could con everybody. Say, oh, no, I just, nah. I just want to encourage everybody. No, down deep, I just want you to go, man, look at that trout, Pastor God. There ain't nothing wrong with it, but I'm just saying, for me, I got to be careful. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Maybe I'm the only sinner in here. The purity test, does that bring glory to the Lord? No, really, it brings glory to me. Come on now, is it quiet in here because of conviction? How many has ever done anything and we really ask, well, this is a brand new Lord. No, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this or saying this so people will hear and see me. So they'll do this. God help us. Let's be careful with the purity test. And then as I close, the peace test. The purity test. Can I honestly ask God to bless it? That's the purity test. But here's the peace test. Romans 14:23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. This last test asks this. After praying about it, is there the least bit of doubt about it? Now listen to me. Church, I'm 46 years of age. I'm 46. There's a lot more that I need to learn, but I've learned a lot. And I've learned something that I need to go with this instinct and this truth. If you doubt it, don't. There's normally a reason. How many times we ever said, I'll tell you what, there's just that. I just can't quite get it, but you know what? I'm going to push through anyway. I'm going to push through anyway. After praying about it, and after praying about it, we say, I just can't get the green light, but I got a yellow light. But we're going to move on it. And how many times have we suffered because of it? If you doubt it, don't. After praying about it, is there the least bit of doubt in my mind about it? We need to learn to give God the benefit of the doubt. If it's doubtful, here, it's this simple. Don't. If it's doubtful. If it's doubtful. By the way, that's with a lot of things. You know, if you go up to somebody and say, hey, what do you think about it? Say, my wife and I kind of have a little test. She'll walk in. And sometimes it's normally with a certain, it could be dress, it could be something else. And I do the same. I walk up to my wife, I say, what do you think? And here's what I say. If she goes, it's already gone. It's already done. It's doubtful. Right? It's doubtful. It's, that's stringent. Why do you live that way? Well, because I know I've done things and I've doubted before and I've always paid for it. If you don't, if you doubt it, don't. Put your verse down there because that's what this verse means. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We've got to trust him. But when there's something there that's just not clear, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, who you think's giving you those doubts? Who you think's trying to put the caution light on? Who do you think's trying to tell you? And by the way, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. So as a Christian, sometimes it's hard, but we got to be cautious. And if we doubt it, don't. That's just safe. Then as I close, Alexander Clark was a Scotch missionary to Africa. He approached an African that was mauled by a lion. He was almost dead. He was laying there bleeding to death and dying. And this missionary found this African. He bound up his wounds. He nursed this man back to health. And this missionary departed. But in 3 months, this man showed up at this missionary, Mr. Clark's house, with his whole family. And he opened that door and he looked out there and seen that African and his whole family and his wife and his children. Here's what he said. He said, in our country, the redeemed belongs to the Redeemer. It's jungle law. Me and my family are yours forever. And listen to me. We've been redeemed. We are our redeemers. So when we make choices, when we live, when we react, when we put posts up on Facebook, they're for Him. They're not for me. God help me. And I know I've gotten passionate about this church, but I'm going to be honest with you. This has spoken to my heart. This has helped me and encouraged me. I'm thinking of all these families that are involved in this church and even online, how helpful this can be if you'll set your children down and teach these little principles and tests and how much better off they'll be because of it. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me, families. I'm 46 and both of our children are grown and they're practically out of our house and they're on their way. I get all of that, but listen to me. There's not a day that goes by that Laura and I know in our heart of hearts that we never did enough. We never said enough. We never taught enough. We never shared enough. We should have taken another second. We should have taken another minute. We should have taken another meal. We should have said, wait, children, we're going to talk some more about this. We never read the Bible enough. We never prayed enough. Listen to me, families, while your children are at home, don't waste the opportunity. Your children's lives depend upon how you train and raise them. And when they get to a certain age, obviously, you can't tell them what to do. But we ought to instill in them that they never get away from it. And I want to say to you tonight, these tests are simple but profound. God help us to live because of the one who has redeemed us. I'm yours. So you guide me and lead me in how I conduct my life and the choices I make and how I lead my family. God help me. If you're out there tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ, your Savior, listen to me. He loves you. He'll save you. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Save you from your sin. We're all sinners. We've all sinned. But God loves you. He died on the cross for you. He paid for your sin dead on the cross. And you can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is an act of faith. It's putting your faith in the Lord. And when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that that faith makes you righteous. He saves you. That's His plan. Isn't that an amazing plan? Why are so many people so worked up on getting baptized or doing some kind of work? Because that's our plans. God's plan, no, He's done paid the price. All we've got to do is accept the gift. And His gift is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand on our feet tonight. And let's ask God to help us to take these tests. If you need them, let me know. I'll make copies of them for you. I think this is very practical and simple, but I'm telling you right now, these little tests, if we will stop, pause, put these little tests in before we make decisions, before we do a lot of things. React, make plans, start off making decisions that's going to take our families from here to here. I mean, these tests need to be applied along the way. God help us. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. Lord, if there's anyone out there tonight, whether it be in this building or out online, that they do not know you as their personal Savior, I pray the good Holy Spirit of God will convict them. Lord, I pray that they'll come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And Lord, I pray that if they're out online, they would call us at 825-0511. Let us know about it, Lord. That would encourage us. You put in their heart to do that. But Lord, there's someone here. I pray you'd help them, give them the courage to come and speak to us, and we'll show them from the Bible how to be saved. But Lord, I know that I've got a lot of Christians in front of me already, online and in this building. And Lord, I pray you'll help us as we make decisions, as we choose to do right or what to do in certain areas that might not be completely laid out in your word. Help us and give us wisdom, and help us to apply these principles to our life. And we'll thank you for what you do in our hearts and lives, for we ask it in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.